Sports Day for Kia.
Introducing the all-new Kia Carnival. Australia's first GUV. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Hi everyone, welcome to Sports Day. We have an enormous show in store for you on this Tuesday evening. All-rounder Talia McGrath to join us ahead of the Ashes. Tomorrow night it gets underway at Adelaide Oval. We'll be recapping all of the action from Melbourne Park on day three of the Australian Open. What a huge result for Ash Barty. 6-1, 6-1 today. She is getting it done inside an hour in both rounds one and rounds two. Of course, your calls on the week's open line, 8223 0000. You can save $45,000 on your next home with Weeks Homes. Plenty of opinion also from my co-host. He's in the studio with us, Kenneth George Cunningham. G'day, KG.
Hello, Benny. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm very well, mate. How was your day?
Great. Look, plenty of things happening in the world of sport. You've got the tennis, you've got cricket starting in Adelaide Oval tomorrow, the Big Bash continues on. Where do we start? Where do we finish?
I'm very excited for the Ashes tomorrow night. Of course, the first of three T20s. All three will be here at Adelaide Oval. Bit of weather around that I'm worried about on the weekend.
I love the format of this.
Yeah.
Three T20s, test match, and then three one-day games. Oh, I love it.
You're going to be and great to see the girls play all three forms of the game in such a condensed format. Yeah. It's going to be amazing as well. So Talia McGrath, as I said, will join us a little bit later on in the evening. Hey, KG, did you watch Nick Kyrgios on court last night? On the young English lad, Lachie Brody.
Did I watch him? It was the most entertaining match I've seen in a long, long time. And that bloke, Kyrgios, at times he used to infuriate me when he carried on with some of the things he did. But honestly, last night, his tennis was unbelievable last night.
He is just, he's an eyeball machine, isn't he? He's an eyeball farm. You cannot take your eyes off of him. But I've got a question for you, and I want to make this the hot topic for Barbecues Galore. Shop online and in store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge. Now you are cooking. KG, I want to ask you this. Is Nick Kyrgios and a raucous crowd at John Cain Arena what we really want to see as representative of Australian tennis? Even Nick Kyrgios last night described it as a zoo. Are you comfortable with that?
Well, I'm not comfortable when they start bashing the fences and all that, but the screaming and the clapping, that's what sport's about. We don't see enough of personalities in various sports these days, really. Look at AFL football. Look at whatever game you want to watch. The personalities are few and far between because it's become so professional. Last night, I sat there in awe of that young man, and I've been critical of him in the past for some of the things that he said and done, but he was sensational last night.
Give us your opinion on the week's open line, 8223 0000. KG, I've got to say, I'm uncomfortable with a crowd acting like hoons.
Come on, Benny.
I don't mind. You can chat, you can clap, you can cheer, you can support. But, hey, Liam Brody, he was Nick's opponent. I mean, he had the opportunity to absolutely ruin that night just by saying, hang on, I'm not going to start a point until this crowd calms down. And the central chair umpire would have had no hope of getting that match started. That crowd was flat out of control.
Well, I don't know if it was out of control. That's a bit over the top. I liked it. I didn't like the banging and the noise making there, but the cheering and the clapping, that's what sport's about. That's what entertainment's about. And if it had happened in another country, we'd cop it over there.
No, we wouldn't cop it over there. We'd be up in arms about it.
No.
I am really uncomfortable that is representative on Australia on a world stage. That is not how we want to display ourselves around the globe. It is not in keeping with what is expected of tennis crowds.
He had the chance to play. If it was worrying him, he had the chance to go to the chair umpire and say, I'm not going to play until the crowd settles down. But obviously it didn't worry him. He didn't complain.
Tell us what you think on the week's open line, 8223 0000. Do you agree with KG that Nick Kyrgios and the crazy John Cain Arena is good for the game? Or do you agree with me and they need to pipe down a little bit? We've got a caller. It's Paul from Gawler. Wants to talk about Nick Kyrgios. Paul, welcome to Sports Day. Go ahead, mate.
Boys. A couple of things on Nick Kyrgios. Hey, it's all right for him to sit and wink about the screaming and yelling at the end of the game. He was winding them up. You know, at the end of games, he was putting his racket in the air. He was trying to wind them up. So you can't have your cake and eat it too.
What do you think, Paul? Are you comfortable with the way that John Cain Arena plays out? I mean, there are visiting tennis players who are going to be copping all sorts of grief from that crowd. Are you comfortable with that?
Nah, that's all right. As long as it's clean and good taste. But, mate, you know, just on Kyrgios still, I don't rate I don't rate the underarm serve. I reckon that's disrespectful to your opponent.
Now, Paul, you've taken the words out of my mouth. That should be banned, the underarm serve. I don't mind the underarm between the legs during a rally. That's fine. But not the serve when the opponent goes back against the wall. That's ridiculous.
But it's the same as a man cat in cricket. Yeah, it's part of the game, but it's not on. It's just garbage. And he had a great game last night. I'll give him that. Let's see him get under a bit of pressure and see how he performs.
Hang on, Paul. I mean, you talk about pressure. Now, the young man hadn't played since last September. He's just recovering from COVID. You don't reckon there was a bit of pressure on that young man to play some of the shots he played last night, the passing shots, and what about his serve? Fair dinkum. The pressure was there for sure.
Okay, gee, nobody's doubting his ability. The guy is a gun, but it's the stuff he does away from tennis that lets him down. So, yes, last night he was great. I enjoyed the game. I watched it from start to finish. But let's see what he's like when he gets under pressure and then the ugly side of him comes out.
Right.
Good on you, Paul. Good call. Appreciate your opinion. I tell you what, he's going to be under pressure tomorrow night. He plays Daniil Medvedev. That'll be on centre court, Rod Laver Arena.
I tell you what, don't write him off.
Who? Nick?
Nick, don't write him off.
I'll write him off here and now. He won't beat Daniil Medvedev. Well, he's very good against the second stringers, but when he's up against the absolute tall poppies,
it's another level again. On what I saw last night. Woo.
I'll speak to you on Friday, KG, my Daniil Medvedev cash will be, your cash will be in my pocket. Hey, I've got to take you up to task about the underarm serve. What is wrong with it?
No.
If you're a hard server and your opponent decides to stand on the back fence at Rod Laver Arena, serve an underarm one. Come in a little bit closer. Perfectly legal.
I'm not saying it's not legal, but I don't think it's in the interest of the game. To me, it's a no-no. It's like the underarm.
Absolutely no problem in my eyes. If you're going to stand 15 metres off the baseline, you deserve to get an underarm serve.
Well, when you're serving 220 clicks, where would you stand?
Well, get up and toughen up. Stand up nice and close to him. Hey, KG, I want to ask you about this. Yeah. There's Justin Langer looked like a dead man walking about a month ago in Australian cricket. Since then, not since then, because it was 2 months ago, won the T20 World Cup.
Correct.
And now the Ashes 4-0.
Yep.
Where do you think he sits now?
Well, the tide's turned, and I think it's turned into a big wave, to be quite frank. I think Justin Langer will now get what he wants, and that'll be his coaching career extended. I don't know what's happened, but I do know that, I don't know, but I've got a strong feeling, Benny, that his extension will be granted. And I would have said 2 months ago, dead man walking, but not now, no.
I love your thoughts, 8223 0000, if you think that Justin Langer should stay or after 4 years his time is up.
But
KG?
Benny, there should never have been any doubt about him getting an extension. Look at the job that he's done. What do those sooks want? Players have too much to say.
Justin Langer spoke today. Let's hear what he had to say about speculation around his future.
Well, I guess in the end of the day, I've been in this job for 4 years now. No matter how you look at it, there's always going to be scrutiny. And that's just the world we live in now. Tell you what, you've got to have really thick skin. And it's not only you, it's your family as well. You've got to have really thick skin. So it's been pretty much relentless for the last 12 months. All I can do, as I did as a batsman, as I do in everything else at the moment, is just put my head down and hopefully the results speak for themselves. I mean, the way the guy, not just winning, just the way they're going about, they've got a smile on their face, they're great sportsmen, they're great young men, and hopefully the results speak for themselves.
Justin Langer will be out of contract at the end of this summer. How long would you extend him for?
I'll give him another 2 years.
Two more years, you think? So that'll be 6 years at the helm of Australian cricket.
Yep. Look at the job he's done.
Well, he's done. He's had a very good 3 months.
But why was there speculation about him getting the sack?
Because 3 months ago, they were going pretty rubbish. They were terrible in the West Indies. They were absolutely useless against Bangladesh. They didn't look like they were going to win a game of cricket. They lost a home series against India last year.
It should have been knocked on the head when they won the T20. They should have come out now, the end of the Ashes series, and say he's got an extension.
Sure.
Should never have been discussed.
Don't you think you need to assess the whole 4 years rather than just the last couple of of months?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think it was never any, like it was the players that were leading the bloody charge. They want to take a long, hard look at themselves.
A little bit tense in here this evening, you and me, KG. Hey, just a bit of news that's come out of cricket as well today. New Zealand, that was due to be here to play a couple of T20s and a couple of one-day internationals, have pulled out. And remarkably, they have pulled out because they didn't book their own quarantine accommodation for the trip home, and the New Zealand government has reinforced it's a 10-day quarantine period when you return from any country. So they've had to say, we can't come because we're not allowed back into the country.
What about Cricket Australia? They financially, I'm led to believe that tickets are already being sold.
Of course.
You imagine what that's going to cost Cricket Australia financially. They'd be smashed.
First year we've had no one-day international cricket since 1978-79. That's as long as your career in radio, KG.
Thank you very much, Bunny, for that. Look, really and truly, if that's the case, then New Zealand should come to the party financially with Cricket Australia to a degree.
Hey, Theo Dropoulos from Channel 7 today put up an interesting idea.
Good
I
man,
want to ask
Theo.
You about it. Ripping bloke. He has got the idea to reinvent the concept of Australia versus Australia A. What do you think about that as a bit of a fill-in content?
I hated it.
Don't like it?
I hated it.
I was uncomfortable with the concept that people were barracking for Australia A over
exactly
Australia.
Exactly right. That's my argument. You've got our prime number one side out there representing Australia, and they're barracking for the underdogs.
I tell you what, though.
Don't like it one bit.
There is a lot of people that would be very keen on watching it, so it's an interesting idea. I wonder if Cricket Australia will follow up and try and find a way to replace those New Zealand games.
How disappointing is that, though, Benny? How could that possibly happen? How could New Zealand not book it?
Well, there's some talk now that we won't go to New Zealand as a bit of a tit for tat, because there was supposed to be a couple of T20s
childish.
Over there. We haven't played a test in New Zealand for 5 years.
Yeah, go to New Zealand. Don't spit the dummy.
It's a four-hour flight. Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. As we said, we've got so much more coming up on the show. An Australian Open wrap. Talia McGrath to join us from the Australian women's cricket team.
Can I say
talk about the Ashes
there?
Very shortly? Go on.
That young lady is a very, very, very good player in my view, Ben. Now, you've seen more of her than I have. What's your view?
Well, I'm absolutely of the opinion that she's probably... Well, she's alongside Megan Shute. She may be right now... she's in the argument to be the best women's player we have ever produced.
Oh.
And when you think about the talent of the women's players we've got at the moment...
Perry.
You know, she maybe is in the top, 60 South Australian cricketers all time.
Her technique
male
is
or
fantastic.
Female.
I'm looking forward to having a chat with the young lady.
We're going to go to a break. On the other side, more of your calls, and we'll also be talking about the Australian Open tennis. And we've got some cricket to talk about as well. I've got some breaking news.
Yeah, you've got a story.
Very, very interesting.
You sneaky little devil, you.
We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, you're listening to Sports Day with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. Play Keno from only $1 a game with a draw every few minutes. There's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. KG,
yes.
We have been going back and forth a little bit about not only Nick Kyrgios, but also Justin Langer. And we've got a couple of people that want to have their say as well. And that's what you get on Sports Day. Andrew from Craigmore has called in. Andrew, welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, guys. I'm talking about cricket.
Yep.
Go your hardest, Justin Langer.
As well as a lot of other sports, these players have got to get their frilly panties off, put a pair of jocks on, and do as they're told, because there is a million plus other young blood out there that would give anything to have a shot at where they are. There's an old saying, boys... If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Well, Andrew, I was cross when I first heard the news, because the Australian cricket team, as players, don't pick the coach. That's done by Cricket Australia. Cricket Australia can consult the players by all means. But at the end of the day, the selection is not made by the players. It's made by Cricket Australia. That's what got up my nose.
Andrew, thank you for your call. We're going to move on to John from Port Augusta. John, you want to talk about Justin Langer as well?
Yes, thanks, Ben, Coach.
Johnny?
Have one for hooks tonight, KG.
Yeah, I know.
But that's sad, but we'll move on. Justin Langer, boys, I'm with the example as far as coaches go for the Australian cricket team. I want to know, I think that Pat Cummins has done a wonderful job as captain. I think technically he's quite sound for a fast bowler because they're normally dumb meat heads. But he's well read. He's well read and a student of the game and all the rest of it. And so I'm totally with Ian Chappell on coaches. Not for the first time, I'd say. You drive around them in England.
I'll ask you this, KG. Thanks, just don't go away just yet, John. But I want to ask you this, KG. Oh, yeah. Did Pat come and save the career of Justin Langer?
That I can't answer, Benny, because I don't know. But he was the one that started the speculation that it may air because he declined to answer a question from a reporter that said, we'll talk about that at another day. And everybody's jumped all over it. And the English camp also got involved as well.
I reckon Pat Cummins has transformed the Australian team.
Well, it has.
It may
no
have been the saving grace for Justin Langer's career. Who would have thought? Right. Malcolm's called in, wants to talk cricket. Malcolm, welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, boys. Yep. I think the most relieving thing out of this last few days is that Kez and Travis were the last two out. Because let's face it, playing for South Australia, we celebrate winning a session, let alone winning a game. So they should have been the last two out.
I tell you what, Malcolm, in the heyday when we won a few games, we had Arthur Lance, the curator, coming around with a torch, kicking us out of the
yellow. Yeah, those big long bottles and that, yes.
Yeah, the long necks, yeah. I was guilty of it.
Yes.
Good on you, Malcolm. Thank you for your call. Hey, I want to share with you a little story that I've just learned today, KG, and it relates to the fact that Travis Head and Alex Carey are back into the strikers. This is quite remarkable, and there are going to be a couple of people that are going to be a little bit upset about this. Travis Head and Alex Carey returned to the strikers team that they were named in at the start of the year.
Which is fantastic.
And then were forced out of as a result of being picked in the test team. No problem at all with any of that.
No.
The replacement players were named as Daniel Drew. And, of course, I think Daniel Drew will be the guy who is removed from the squad when Alex Carey is replaced.
The West Torrens boy.
But how about this? If Travis Head plays on Friday night, and the Adelaide Strikers will play an elimination final on Friday night, the Adelaide Strikers will be forced to take Thomas Kelly out of the team, who has been an absolute star.
You are kidding me. He's been the bright, shining light. We're here. You're joking.
I mean, everyone would have thought that probably Jake Weatherald might have been the one to miss out. He's been in the middle order. He's a wonderful player, Jake, but he just hasn't found his feet.
We know he can do. You can't drop Matthew Kelly. He's been the one bright, shining. Now, your info can't be right, surely. Have you double-checked it?
I have it on very good authority that if Travis Head plays, Thomas Kelly cannot because he wasn't in the original squad.
Oh, whoopee-doo. Who are making these bloody dumb decisions?
Well, it's not a striker's decision. It's the rule. I mean, they're allowed to bring in replacements.
It's a stupid rule.
But that's what's going to happen. If Travis Head plays, and I think you'd be mad not to play Travis Head.
Now, Benny, this young kid's come into the side as a youngster, trying to make his way. He's given everything that he's got in fielding, batting. He's been one of the brightest stars there, and he gets the Tijuana. How bad is that?
It is unfortunate. Tyre Power's big holiday sale is now on.
Stupid.
Save on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. Buy three, get one free at Tyre Power.
Believe
that. It is a shame,
isn't
it?
What do you think of it?
Well, I understand the rule. I mean, there's no way around it.
Well, how could you understand that rule? Surely when you go into a final, you should be allowed to pick your best side.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're picking a guy who was out of the original squad.
Well, so what? He came in because of senior commitments to the Australian team.
Well, what if Adelaide was playing the Hobart Hurricanes and one of their replacement players who had absolutely blitzed had to get pushed out because, I don't know, Scott Boland. Scott Boland comes into the Hobart Hurricanes team.
Yeah, yeah.
It means that he has to push someone out.
Well, pick your best side.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. We're going to go to a break, KG, because we're going to catch up with Talia McGrath very shortly. Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
You're with Ben Hook and KG Cunningham. We're on Sports Day. We're doing it thanks to Mate, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59, award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from just $20. KG, I was at Adelaide Oval this afternoon. It is looking an absolute picture.
Well, tell me when it's not looking a picture, Benny.
Well, I am so excited for what's coming up because it is game one of the first of three T20s for the Women's Ashes.
Absolutely fantastic.
It is so exciting. We've seen the Men's Ashes.
Yep.
The Aussies absolutely dominant. And tell you what, KG, I would love to see the Aussie women just as dominant underway tomorrow night.
I think the Aussie girls in the past, up until now, in this format, have dominated. So that's a good sign.
Well, we're very lucky to be able to chat to one of them. She's homegrown South Australian, captain of the Adelaide Strikers and a star all-rounder for the Australian team. It's a big warm welcome onto Sports Day, Talia McGrath. Nice to have you on board, Talia.
No worries. Thanks for the kind intro and thanks for having me.
Are you excited to be representing your country on your home ground, Adelaide Oval? I mean, I can't think of anything more special, Talia.
I cannot wait. I'm that excited. It's, the Ashes in my home state, in front of friends and family. So I just cannot wait for tomorrow night.
You've been with the Australian team for a number of years now, but is this extra special? Is there extra level of nerves because it is the Ashes and because it means so much?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, especially watching the men's series, how passionate and how much the country got around that. It's extra special and it does add that little bit extra pressure. So, can't wait for it to get underway tomorrow night.
Talia, what about the format? I find the format very interesting. There are three T20s, then there's a Test match, then there are three one-day internationals. As a player, do you enjoy that format?
Yeah, I do. It's certainly tests the skill set across three different formats and puts a lot of emphasis on each game, especially with that test match being worth a pretty big chunk of the points. So it's a pretty cool little format. We've played a few of them now. So, the test match is going to be a special one for sure.
Talia, the men have been so dominant over the last month. Is there extra pressure on you to be just as dominant? Or I guess maybe from the perspective of seeing a really good contest, do you hope that England bring their best stuff?
Yeah, I'd love to see a good contest. There's nothing better than a good game of cricket on TV, and hopefully we come out on top. It's been awesome to see the public get around the men's side and see them do so well. So hopefully we can follow in their footsteps and keep the Australian winning way going.
So, Talia, we've got a few out. We've got Molly Strano out. We've got, of course, batter Katie Mack out, both with COVID. But the one that we're going to miss, can we cover the loss of world number one T20 batter Beth Mooney, who's got a broken jaw?
Yeah, look, it's obviously a pretty big loss, that one. She's dominated every single game she's played for the last couple of years. So it's a big out, but I think the beauty of our side is every game, the players that are sitting on the sideline are world class. So, someone will get the nod and slot in there, and I think we'll be able to cover her. But wishing Moons a speedy recovery, and she'll be back to her best in no time for us.
Talia, the WBBL has turned into one of the great international sporting competitions. Players come from India, they come from England. I note as well that with the Australian netball competition, that it's very similar, and a couple of the Australian players have been of the belief that that has actually helped improve other nations more so than it has Australia. Do you worry that the fact that these English players come into the WBBL and get so much great experience and such great competition that it will help them in the long run when they're playing here in Australia against our best?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Most of their squad has been out here quite a few times, so they're obviously getting to know our conditions, playing with us and against us. So there's a bit of inside intel on from both sides, and the WBBL is such a strong competition that all the international players that come over benefit from it. So it's a tough little thing there for the Big Bash, but I think it's great that we get so many quality players come over and play in our domestic competition as well.
Talia, could I ask you a leading question? And just be careful how you answer this. I must say to you, I was a little surprised our young spinner from the Stockers, young Wellington, mis-selected. I know it's a golden opportunity for the young lady, Alana King, but she seems to have developed under your captaincy, in particular this year. Am I out of order by saying that?
Yeah, Wella's had an unbelievable Big Bash, and she's been performed for us for a couple of years.
Yep.
So at the same time, can you put up similar sort of numbers and similar performances? So it's a good problem for Australian selectors to have when you've got two dominant leg spinners putting their hand up. And unfortunately, Wello didn't get the nod, but she's still around and amongst it in the Aus A squad, and she'll be back in, yeah, that Aussie shirt. And putting her hand up, just waiting her time. So she'll be ready if she gets another chance.
Beautifully answered.
Talia, I'm interested in that. You did take over the captaincy of the Adelaide Strikers this year. And I've known you for a number of years, Talia. I remember being up on stage interviewing you when you won the Karen Rolton medal, and it was pretty hard getting so much as two words out of you. you've obviously, you know, you've got older and more mature, and you've played a lot more cricket. But how have you found the experience of captaining your own team, in particular when you play such a significant role as a first change bowler and number three batter?
Yeah, look, I loved it. It was the opportunity came about quite late when Susie Bates pulled out last minute of the Big Bash. So I was pretty excited when I got the call from Luke asking me if I wanted to do the role. And I just learnt so much. Every game we played, I learnt so much and sort of helped my game on and off field. I'm just sort of growing in confidence, and the captaincy sort of contributed to that. So yeah, hopefully it's the start of a long leadership journey for me.
We knew with the fast bowling side of the Adelaide Strikers what you were going to get from Megan Shute, but one of your teammates tomorrow night, Darcy Brown, my word, has she taken WBBL by storm. It must be so exciting just to throw her the ball and say, off you go, just wang it as fast as you can and watch what she's done. Because she has added a dimension to the Adelaide Strikers. Forget women or men, she has added a dimension to the club.
Absolutely. I know firsthand how much I hate facing her in the net. So whenever there was a partnership I wanted to break or a little lull in the game, I'd just chuck her the ball and something would happen. So an amazing bowler to have at your exposure there. And she just grows from strength to strength every game. Is a really special talent. So, remember the name, because she's going to be around for a while.
Talia, can I ask you a personal question? I've seen you play quite a few times, and the one thing that's impressed me about your batting is you play beautifully straight, upright, stand tall and play straight. Who's been the biggest influence on your technique, if I may ask?
That's a tough question. I've had that many batting coaches over the years. It's pretty hard to pinpoint one. At the moment, just doing a lot of work with Luke Williams in the South Australian system. And,
yep.
And that's something that Moddy speaks to me a fair bit, the Aussie coach, is my biggest asset is the way I play straight down the ground.
Oh,
so go to that plan
straight.
A as much as possible. So that's sort of been my blueprint over the last season or so. And while it's working for me, I'll stick with that.
Talia, the WBBL, you've had a couple of weeks off now, but I tell you, you've got some cricket to come. We've got the three T20s, the three one-day internationals, the test match, and then you've got to hop on a plane to New Zealand, do 10 days in quarantine and front up for a World Cup. So it's a huge schedule for you and the team. It's not just a physical challenge, but a mental challenge as well.
Yeah, it's certainly a pretty busy and hectic lineup we've got coming up. So the little break we had over Christmas and New Year was awesome, just to bank some time and spend some time at home with friends and family. So batteries are recharged and ready to go for what should be a really exciting 3 months with two of the biggest tournaments in the Ashes and the World Cup. So really looking forward to it.
Talia, we're that excited for you. We're looking forward to seeing you and the team get underway tomorrow night. I've got to say, Talia, very pleased to see you down at the Glenelg Cricket Club as well. Just have a look at the honour boards. You'll see my name there a number of times.
Hang on. We got Megan Shute in the Australian side. And where's she from, Benny?
She's at Sturt Cricket Club.
Thank you. Yep, got them home this year.
Just remember, you started at Adelaide, KG. Yes, of course. So, but we better give a mention to your original club, Southern Districts. You spent some time at West Torrens, now down at Glenelg, but you're doing a wonderful job. We're looking forward to seeing you, not in all those club colours, but in the green and gold tomorrow, representing Australia in the Ashes. Talia McGrath, go well.
No worries. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Talia McGrath, the all-rounder from the Australian cricket team, our guest. What could you do with $5,000? Thanks to My Money House, you could win $5,000 cash. For details of your chance to win, visit icanwin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms. KG?
She is a very fine player, that young lady, young Talia. The thing that impressed me was how... Well, you've seen it, Ben, you've played it.
Yeah.
Plenty of cricket. Plays beautifully straight, mid-off, mid-on, stands tall. hits the ball beautifully.
You know how we watch a lot of T20 and you see players that are T20 players because they try and slog everything over mid-wicket.
I don't like it.
Her capacity to hit the ball, this is my judge of a really elegant, very well-credentialed player.
Elegant. That's how she is.
She has a capacity to hit the ball over the offside field.
Correct.
And that is a real skill.
That's a good shot.
It's very easy to hit in the air on the onside, but when you can hit in the air on the offside,
playing
I think
straight.
That is something different as well.
She's a good player.
Talia McGrath, our guest. You're listening to Sports Day on the other side. We've got plenty more to talk about, including the Australian Open. Don't go away.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Getting set to wrap up here on Sports Day SA. We are doing it thanks to the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And it's time to talk about the Australian Open and everything that is going on across there at Melbourne Park. It's been a really interesting afternoon, probably highlighted by Ash Barty, KG6161.
Well, yeah, just a little bit of a concern now. She's had two very soft games. I wonder whether that's the right preparation. I know there's still a way to go, but I'd like to sort of get an opportunity where she digs in and does what Ash Barty does well.
Can I give you a statistic that I think is pretty amazing? It goes back to the Adelaide International, which she won here the first of those 2 weeks.
Yep.
The last 49 times she has served, she has held serve. 49 times straight. Now, you think about that in women's tennis, which isn't quite the power game of men's tennis.
No.
And not even John Isner, you know, the big hitting servers. Don't hold serve 49 times in a row. She has now held serve after today's game 49 times in a row,
but
which
is
quite amazing.
But are you concerned that she's only had so far two soft games?
Oh, a part of me says that if you can get a few cheapies in the first week, it could potentially get hot
enough.
In the second week.
Yep.
If you run into someone that gives you a bit of a challenge, I reckon it's always nice to have some fresh legs in the tank. So I don't think she'll be too concerned that she's dominating. And I was actually listening to a tennis podcast. I mean, she, for someone who's just such you know what she is on the court? She is an absolute killer. She does not give opponents the remotest sniff.
That's the beauty of her. On the court, she's a killer. Off the court, she is such a humble champion.
A couple of other results around Melbourne Park today. Alex de Minaur lost one in four sets, I beg your pardon.
Yeah,
Alex Bolt, one in three sets, the boy from Murray Bridge, which is a huge
result. I love watching
result.
Him play, young Bolt.
Unfortunately, Alexei Popyrin lost in five sets. John Millman takes on Alexander Zverev tonight from 7:45 p.m. So that's going to be a nice little game to sit and watch and maybe have an adult beverage, KG, while we're taking in a bit of the tennis.
I'll have one little sip tonight, Ben. Just one little sip, quietly.
And young Sharma lost in straight sets as well, so that was a bit of a disappointment. But there's some good things going for Australian tennis, but undoubtedly it's being led by Ashley Barty
Kyrgios
at the moment.
Taking on Medvedev. That'll be a very, very interesting clash in the next couple of days.
Hey, I just want to turn your attention back to Big Bash cricket for a minute. There was a game this afternoon between the Sydney Thunder and the Melbourne Renegades. Boyce hasn't played a game for about 3 years. He played for the Adelaide Strikers. I think he's played for pretty much every BBL team. Leg spinner playing against the Sydney Thunder. You're not going to believe this.
So, where's he been, though? He just came back into the competition this year. Where's he been?
He's been injured, KG. He's had injuries for the last 3 years. So it was a bit of an amazing return for him to come back for the Renegades.
So what did he do?
This afternoon, not only did he take a hat-trick, he then got another wicket with his fourth ball as well. Let's take a listen now to him getting that fourth wicket.
This one.
Oh, it might be four. Oh,
it is
four.
He's
four wickets in four balls.
Unbelievable.
Forget Scott Boland. This is the boy CG right now.
Now
he is the king of the G.
That's a double hat trick, isn't it?
Oh, I was going to ask you that exact question. Is it a double hat trick or is it not a double hat trick?
Well, I don't really class it as a double hat trick, but I think in cricket terms, the cricket purists love it. They will say that's classed as a double hat trick.
Do you remember a good mate of yours, Dennis Bryan, runs the West Torrens Cricket Club?
Dennis.
Good old Rocker Bryan.
Yeah, Rocker.
Rocker would be incensed if we were even mentioning that was a double hat trick.
Doesn't he believe in it?
So here's the argument that a hat trick is the one, two, and three. Balls one, two, and three, and then the double hat trick comes if you get the fourth wicket on the fourth ball, and therefore it's the second, third, and fourth ball is your double hat trick.
So Rocker doesn't believe it is a double hat trick.
Rocker believes that a double hat trick is only one, two, three, four, five, six. Six wickets in six balls.
Actually, I'll be seeing he's a very good friend of Rexy Blundell, former state wicketkeeper. I often go around there and have a little ale with him. So the next time I go around, I say, Rocker, and I'll ask him the question. That's got to be a double hat-trick.
The super-fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Now, tomorrow night, I am back out of the chair. Paul Bonsor is back in the chair. Because I'm going to be at the cricket at Adelaide Oval tomorrow night, working from down there. So I'm going to have to leave you to it.
I'm going to pop in for a while tomorrow.
I am really excited about this game tomorrow night. I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I just reckon there is a lot riding on England, putting some pride on the line after the way their men completely performed. Let the country down.
Well, they are copping an absolute shellacking back home in the English press. Unbelievable.
What would you do with the English cricket team? What would you do with Chris Silverwood, the coach, and Joe Root, the captain?
Well, I'd certainly sack Chris Silverwood. He was the sole selector. That has to change. That is ridiculous. You can't have one man as sole selector. That's got to change if they appoint the new coach. And Joe Root, I'm sorry, I wouldn't give him the captaincy because Betty, he's got the whole responsibility of the English batting on his shoulders. He fails, they fail. That's enough pressure. Take the captaincy away. He's not a good captain, but he's a wonderful, wonderful player. I don't know what they can do, but no, I'd take the captaincy away from him.
Well, here's my question in response, right, KG.
Here we go.
Who's
throw me a curveball.
If Joe Root is not captain, who's captain of the English cricket
Ben
team?
Ben Stokes is the obvious man.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Ben Stokes is the spitting image of Ian Botham at the end of his career.
But he's not Ian Botham.
No, he is Ben absolutely Stokes. Not Ian Botham. No. He is not as good as Ian Botham, but he's getting towards the end of his career. He's suffering injury after injury after injury. He grimaces just getting out of bed in the morning, let alone bending down to pick up a cricket ball and bowl it.
I would look at Ben Stokes. If, in fact, he recovers from the side strain he's got and the body's okay, he's the only logical replacement because they can't continue with Joe Root. It's killing his batting and it's not helping the side so far as his captaincy is concerned. He's not a good captain, sorry.
What about the Australian cricket team? So we've seen Steve Smith as the vice-captain of the Australian cricket team. That can't go on forever.
No, that's a concern. His batting is nowhere near what it was a couple of seasons ago. That's a worry. And David Warner's a bit of a concern when he's up and down a pair in the last Test match. And we've got to find a regular opener at the start with David Warner. I don't reckon Khawaja is the man now. He's 35. He's made all of his runs in the latter part of his career batting at number five.
Can I give you a smoky to open the batting for Australia maybe come next summer?
I've got one. Go on.
Henry Hunt.
Oh, hang on. Now look, you've stole my thunder. Our producer's waving his arms around. I've been blowing his trumpet for the last 2 months. This kid can play. They should have put him in during this England test.
No. He wasn't ready for...
Of course he's ready. When's he ever going to be ready?
Well, when he scores a few more hundreds.
Well, mate, he's made, what, 3-4 for South Australia already in his career?
He looks very good.
He plays like Tarley McGrath. Very straight. He's not a T20 player. If I was his dad, I'd be saying, hey, Henry, you're not playing any more T20. You're concentrating on playing Test cricket. He is the next opening batsman. You've seen my notes.
No, I haven't.
You pinched my notes.
If I was his dad, I'd say keep playing T20 because it pays a few bills.
See, this is my argument. It's not about money. It's about... If he was to play Test cricket and play it well, he would make far more money playing Test cricket than playing T20. Not that that's important.
No, I reckon Henry Hunt, we could see 12 to 18 months, we could see him in the Australian cricket team. I reckon he's a very good player.
I love his technique.
Can we just talk about vice-captain? Because Pat Cummins, as a fast bowler, inevitably you're going to suffer injuries. I've never been a big fan of Steve Smith as a captain.
No.
Forgetting all of the Cape Town business, he's done his penalty for that, so I'm happy for him to be back involved.
Yep.
Who do you reckon should be the new vice-captain of the Australian cricket team supporting Patrick Cummins?
I'd go for Travis Head.
So would I. We've agreed on something.
Well, that's
for
the first time. but Benny, if you cast your mind back about 18 months, 2 years ago, Travis Head was touted as the next captain of Australia. Then he had that horrible run with the bat, and he found himself inconsistent. But he is a good captain, first and foremost, and now he's cemented his place on the side.
Save a massive $45,000 on all next-gen homes. Visit weeks.com.au. I think the national opinion of Travis Head has changed in the last 5 weeks.
You're right.
What he did at the Gabba on a difficult wicket, and what he did in Hobart on an extremely difficult wicket.
Down in Tasmania.
Yeah, very, very impressive indeed. Righto, well, that's pretty much all we've got time for, KG. I am out of the chair tomorrow. Paul Bonsor back in. What a great debut he had on Monday,
And you're back on Friday.
And I'll be back on Friday to join you. And we're going to talk Premier Cricket because I've got some really interesting stories to share with you all about that. Thanks, KG. Enjoy your evening. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your evening too. Paul Bonsor with you. KG tomorrow. I'll see you all on Friday. You've been listening to Sports Day. Thanks for your company.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.